2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
I'm working it.
Hey, there's a problem in Utah. I'm working it. Unemployment. It's too low. It is 2.6% right now. Business owners, they can't hire enough workers. Working 9 to 5,
what a way to make a living. But now even Dolly is changing her tune. Working 5 to 9, you got passion and a 9 to 5, 5 to 9, I'm telling you, there's all sorts of jobs out there, and I think a lot of people are looking at their job and saying, you know what? This just isn't working for me. I'm quitting. I'm going to try and take something better.
In a moment, we're going to talk to a statistician, do some research about what employees want, what their top priorities are to stay on the job or when they apply for a job. These are things that a lot of employers, in my view, haven't thought of, Dave.
Yeah. There's something that I tell my kids, and I say it's a philosophy I think I kind of came up with. But I found it to be true. There's three things when you're looking for a job, and you have to know what you want. What do you prioritize? So this is what I tell my kids.
Okay.
You have three choices. You have three things. You can have one of them.
One.
You can have one of them. Okay. Maybe if you're lucky, the job will give you two. But number one, good pay.
All right.
Good schedule. Or love what you do.
Oh.
You can choose one of those things. What is your top priority? Is it good pay, good schedule, or do you want to love what you do? And I give them an example from my own life. For years and years, I worked in the sports department. I went to Super Bowls. I went to the Olympics. I went to every BYU-Utah football game for decades. The pay wasn't great. I worked every weekend and holiday for 15 years, but I loved my job.
Oh.
So I prioritized that. It worked for me. But what works for you? You worked at the FBI.
Right.
Which one of those did you value most? Good pay, good schedule, or did you love what you did?
Well, my schedule was 24/7.
So terrible schedule.
And it was 24/7. Okay. Middle of the night, early in the morning, 24/7. So that was not good. The pay for the schedule.
It's government work.
I don't want to be a complainer, though. I don't want to be a complainer. But I will tell you this, number three. I loved what I did.
Yes.
Yeah. I loved being in the room.
Yes.
When the cases were going down. I love being briefed before the cases went down.
Isn't that interesting?
I loved helping the media.
You and I both prioritize loving what we did. And I think a lot of employers are panicking because they think, oh, I just got to offer people more money. I got to raise what I pay.
Oh, no.
It's not always the pay.
Right.
It could be a better schedule. It could be flexibility. So we wanted to bring on an expert, Dr. Tara von Baumel, is a director and statistician and director at Catalyst, who has really dived into this. And Tara, I appreciate you joining us. What do you think is the key? What do employees want right now?
Yeah, hi Dave and Debbie. It's great to be here to talk to you both about this today. And you know what you've both been talking about is really the paradigm shift in the world of work. And, you know, we would call that, you know, the future of work. And COVID-19 has really accelerated that. And we're really actually living the future of work right now. And what that really looks like in the workplace is flexible work options. What employees want is permanent and equitable access to flexible work options. And this is in terms of schedule and or location. And, you know, what that looks like will vary based on the organization and the industry and the type of work that they do. But, you know, there's just been study after study over the past few months that have shown, you know, employees want remote and flexible work to be permanent. And now that they've got a taste of what that can be like, you know, they're really not willing to go back to sacrificing well-being, hours of their lives, to go back to commuting. And you know, I think that employees have really made their preferences known loud and clear, and organizations that, you know, refuse to listen risk not only appearing tone deaf, but they really will risk losing their top talent, who now have many options when it comes to remote and flexible work.
Dr. Tara Van Bommel is a director. She's a statistician at Catalyst, which has done a lot of research recently on what employees want. We do know 14.3 million Americans quit their job in August. Dave and I have been talking about that extensively. And now we're discussing what employees want. What will it take to keep us around? You talked about flexible work schedules, Doctor. And I remember when I was working 8-hour shifts 5 days a week, which were really like, you know, 10-hour or 12-hour shifts, six or seven days a week. I would have loved to have worked 4-10s. Is this what employees are now wanting? Is that kind of flexibility to go to their boss and say, this will help me, this will help my family, it'll help my sleep schedule, and have their bosses listen?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what employees are asking for. And, you know, one skill that leaders can really leverage to hear their employees and try to work with them to figure out the best schedule is empathy. So empathy is, you know, it's a skill, and it's the skill of connecting with others to identify and understand their thoughts, perspectives, and emotions, and then demonstrating that understanding with intention, care, and concern. And, you know, what we've found in our research is that when leaders, so both senior leaders and direct managers, when they demonstrate empathy in their interactions with employees, that employees are less likely to want to leave their organization. And they're reporting that they feel more respected for their individual life circumstances and that they're better able to balance work and life. And I think what's really going on here is that, you know, empathy really allows people to stop and connect and hear where employees are coming from, see things from their unique perspective. And it builds this sense that employees are being heard, and it gives the opportunity to really understand where employees are coming from so that everyone can work together to find a schedule that works best.
Do you think it's fair to say that the modern day employee is willing to sacrifice pay or even perhaps what they love to do to have that flexibility in the job?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know that people are willing to sacrifice one or the other now. You know, I think that with this paradigm shift in the world of work, people can have flexible schedules. They can be paid a living wage, and they can be doing something, you know, that they do enjoy. And our data did show that, you know, of the people who were planning to leave their organizations, many were leaving for flexible and remote work. Many were leaving for more money, and many were leaving to try something new, to pursue a different industry or interest. So I don't really think it's one or the other. I think it's really about finding that sweet spot.
Dr. Tara Van Bommel, thank you so much for joining us, enlightening us, giving us insight on what your research is showing employees want from their employers. We know it is an employee market right now, and Dave and I are going deep on that conversation in this last 30 minutes. We're going to continue the conversation with your phone calls in just a moment when we ask our listeners, Dave. We want to know, what do you need from your employer today to get you to stick around?
Well, you and I both talked about loving what we do and really prioritizing that when we choose a job. I also told my kids this. Listen, I've had the greatest jobs in the world. I was a whitewater rafter out, you know, in the wilderness and doing amazing work. After 1,000 trips down the river, it becomes a job. Even jobs that are amazing still become jobs. You can't lose focus that, you know what, you don't have to love what you do.
Going back to the conversation we just had with the doctor on the research, Dr. Van Bommel, empathy.
Yeah, empathy. Interesting.
Yeah,
that's an angle I hadn't thought of.
Well, it doesn't cost any money. I mean, maybe it costs you money in the long run, but doesn't cost an employer money to listen and be empathetic to the employee's needs, does
well,
it?
Well, I'll give you an example. How often have we taken a day off, you or I, for a mental health day? We never have. I can tell you right now, folks, we've never said, hey, you know what? I'm just stressed out. I need to rest my brain.
Exhausted.
I need to take a mental health day.
Yeah.
But how great would it be to be able to tell a boss that, like, hey, listen, I need a mental health day. I'm just stressed out. And they say, amazing. I love that idea. Go ahead. Use one of your sick days for that mental health day. Come back when you're feeling better.
Let's have this conversation, continue this conversation in about 3 minutes and ask our listeners to weigh in. So pull up a seat at our kitchen table here. Let's continue the conversation. What do you need from your employer for you to stick around on that job you have now? Is it empathy? Is it another week of vacation? Is it higher pay? Is it a 401k? Is it health benefits? You call it and call us, 801-575-TALK.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We're talking about 4.3 million Americans quitting their jobs all in 1 month. It was the month of August. This new number that just came out has been driving the conversation for the better part of this hour. And we're taking phone calls now. 801-575-TALK. What does your employer need to do to keep you around?
I think a lot of employers think that it's money, whether it's cash, more dollars per hour, benefits. And what we're finding out is obviously no one's going to turn down more money, but there's more to it. A flexible schedule, enjoying what you do. There is more to it than just coughing up more cash.
If you missed our last conversation with a leading researcher who just wrapped up a study and asked, quite frankly, bottom line was they asked employees, what does your employer need to do? We're going to get to her comment because there's one thing you can do right now if you're an employer looking for to keep employees around, keep them employed at your place so they don't walk off the job. It won't cost you a dime. We're going to revisit part of that conversation in about 2 minutes. Want to get to the phone lines right now, 801-575-TALK, always the number to call. Mark from Salt Lake City, are you an employer?
I am actually retired, but I have several friends that are employers, and what they have found, several of their employees, when the COVID hit, they started doing a lot of remote work just because of COVID. But the problem was, is their production went down substantially. They still wanted the same pay, and now that they want them to come back, they're getting pushback from the employees because they want to stay home. But they're having too many distractions with kids and with other things where they will punch in and then all of a sudden not be available when the employer wants them or needs a question answered. That's a problem, I think.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the phone call. I can totally see from an employer's standpoint how you're trying to figure out that very question. How do you keep production level or how do you keep production up and allow that flexibility? And that's a difficult balance. And I think a lot of this is very new. We all got forced into it a little over a year ago where we had to learn to work differently. And this proof of performance, being able to still produce the same results and have the flexibility, I think we're still learning. I think there's a way to do it in many cases. But yeah, I think...
Well, that has to go to the employee as well. They're still learning how to juggle
Zoom
calls, enough Wi-Fi space so they don't get bumped off the Zoom meeting, and also their kids are home.
Well, and part of it...
I'm never going to apologize for having three kids to an employer.
Yes.
I'm just not going to apologize for that. So if I get sent home during the pandemic and my kids are running around in the back because there's no school in session, well, what babysitter am I going to go find? You have to have... that empathy we talked about. We talked about that with Dr. Tara Van Bommel, who called in moments ago, and she's done research on what employees need from their bosses. And it's never been clearer to me. You got to have empathy.
When leaders, so both senior leaders and direct managers, when they demonstrate empathy in their interactions with employees, that employees are less likely to want to leave their organization. And they're reporting that they feel more respected for their individual life circumstances and that they're better able to balance work and life. And I think what's really going on here is that, you know, empathy really allows people to stop and connect and hear where employees are coming from, see things from their unique perspective.
I get that. That's great. but you also cannot blame the employer for expecting a certain level of production. You can't say, well, you just don't understand my circumstances. At the end of the day, an employer has the right to say, I need this from you. And if you can't meet that, then this isn't a great match.
Well, then good luck finding somebody who is, because right now it's slim pickings. It is an employee's market, no doubt about it. There are some 11 million job openings right now across this country. So pick your favorite job and go apply. Let me tell you, while we're getting more phone calls right now, 801-575-TALK, let me tell you what this drive-in is doing, Dave. This drive-in, you like hamburgers still?
Obviously.
Let me tell you what this Dick's drive-in has done. I just pulled up their employment site. $19 an hour. $28,000 scholarship after you pass your first skills test. Now, you have access to that fund. So maybe it's divided among a number of employees. Child care assistance. They give you $5,000 to $9,000 a year that's available as soon as you probably get off probation. That's what probably your first skills test is. You get child care assistance.
Holy smokes.
$5,000 to $9,000 a year. And free health insurance.
How much is that hamburger?
100%. Of your dental and your health insurance is paid for. Your kids are covered at 75% and spouses at 50%. So you're paying half of your spouse's premium. The hamburger, the cheapest hamburger on the menu is $1.80.
Yeah, come on.
It's unfortunate for you, though, Dave. You're going to have to move to Seattle to get that job because that's where Dick's Drive-In is. And it's a very, very popular place there. So let's see how well Dick's Drive-In does. A year from now.
There's no way.
$19 an hour. We're getting to our next caller. Let's bring them on the line. Good morning. Hello?
Is this Tamara?
Yes. Hi.
How you doing? How do you feel about, what do you think businesses, what do employees want?
Well, I think there are employees that want to go back to work, but I think they want people to be vaccinated. I think that's part of it. And I also have a neighbor who's been working at home that is doing a good job, and he doesn't have a problem. His kids, I think, are there. But he said that all of a sudden he wants to go back to work because he doesn't think he'll be able to advance in the company from home.
Yeah, that out of sight, out of mind mentality, that is a legitimate concern, and I totally understand that. I was the guy that was sent home for 16 months and only occasionally in the office. I did feel a little lonely. You guys still remember me? I'm Dave. Hi.
Great.
But that's a new component. The health. You want to make sure people are vaccinated. That is definitely a concern and unique to previous years.
Straight ahead, we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to move it over into the world of cereal. Dave loves Frosted Flakes. My favorite Kellogg cereal happens to be Fruit Loops. But there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Kellogg employees on the picket lines right now. They are on strike. We're going to get into why they are striking, and it has to do with exactly what we're talking about, their working conditions.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.